So I'm going to digress a little bit from our normal Jewish history for a couple of parshios here. And the shiur tonight is on this week's parsha, Parsha Shemos. It's very loosely related, but you'll see it's tied back to the parsha. And the title is Tzadikim's Lack of Decomposition. So we're going to look at a medrash on this week's parsha and try to understand with deeper analysis what the medrash is alluding to, what it means. So we'll start with the beginning of the Torah that we're going to deal with, we're going to analyze. It's just two psukim, it's in Shmos. It says, Vayilach ish mi beis Levi, vayikach es bas Levi. So then this is Perek Beis. At the very beginning, it says that a man from the house of Levi took a woman from the house of Levi. And this is a reference to Amram and Yocheved. Vatara isha vatelet bein, vatera oso kitov hu vatzitzpenehu shlosha yurachim. So the woman got pregnant, and she had a son, and she saw that he was very good. So she hid him for 3 months. Okay, so the Torah, in a very cryptic manner, tells us about the marriage of Amram and Yocheved, and also about the birth of Moshe. So the Medrash that I wanted to take up and start us on this journey here, because you'll see we'll start with this Medrash, is Medrash Agada in source number 2. And it says, Vatar Yisha Vateled Bein, the Torah Tzmima brings this down as well. V'halo me'uberes haisa kvar mishlosha chadashim. So the question the Medrash asked is that the Pasuk, in Pasuk Beis, it says, Vatar Yisha Vateled Bein. It sounds like there was no pregnancy, just that she conceived and then she had a child. But we know that she was pregnant at least for 3 months. So what is the Torah doing there by just telling you that she conceived and had a baby? Is there an idea that the Torah is hinting to? So the Medrash says, Elamikish Lidasa Lahorasa. There's a hekish, there's a connection between the childbirth and the conception. Mahorasa Shlo Bitzar, just like the process of conception was not painful. Af Lidasa Shlo Bitzar, so too Moshe's birth, the childbirth for Yocheved, was not painful at all. Mikan Linoshim Hatzidkanios Shlo Yubipiska Shel Chava. So from here we learn that those righteous women are not under the klala, the curse of Chava. So the Medrash seems to indicate that that this was not just a unique birth because it was Moshe and he was very good, because Kitovhu, but also the nature of the childbirth was such that there was no pain in the childbirth. And the indication is from the Medrash, openly, that women who are righteous are not subject to the curse of Chava. One of the curses of Chava is that women will experience pain during childbirth, but apparently Nashim Tzidkanios are not subject to that. So of course the question is why? Why not? Why are they not subject to childbirth pains? And furthermore, the Torah Tmima brings down a Gemara that's going to, again, start us off on this path here. But look in the Torah Tmima in source number 3. So he asks a question on this Medrash. Klomar, b'kolos be'etzev til dibanim. So he says that women who are tzidkanios are not subject to the klala, to the curse of be'etzev til dibanim, of childbirth pains. Uktsas tzarech iyun mimashikas of Rashi b'shabes kufnun be'zam abez de'klolo shel adam arishon shavin b'chol ha'anashim yu'yun sham. So his question is that there's a Rashi in Shabbos, Daf Kuf Nun Beis, which indicates that everyone is subject to the curses of Adam and Chava, not just whether you're a Rasha or whether you're a Tzadekes or a Tzadik. It doesn't matter. Everyone is subject. So he explains on the Medrash that the Medrash is saying that Yocheved did not experience any pain of childbirth. She didn't need an epidural. She just had no pain. But the question is, there's a Rashi in Shabbos, which seems to indicate that everyone is subject to the curses of Adam and Chava. And one of the curses of Chava is that a woman experiences childbirth pain. So how come, or how is it that Yocheved did not experience the childbirth pain of the curse of Chava? So that's the question. So I decided to follow the Torah Tmima's indication, hint, as to find that Gemara and to find where Rashi says that. And I came across an even stranger Gemara, which led into another strange Gemara. So we'll start with Shabbos. And then we'll ultimately, my goal is to come back to this question, which is, what does it mean that a Tzidkanios, a woman like Yocheved, because she's tzidkanios, because she's righteous, that she's not subject to the curse when the curse of Chava, which is childbirth pain, when we see that, that's really humanity is subject to those curses, whether you're Rosh or a tzaddik. So the Gemara is Shabbos Daf Kufnun Beis Amud Beis. So let's go through this interesting story. Hanou Kafpulai Dahavu Kafli Ba'ara de Rav Nachman. So there are a bunch of diggers, and they were digging in the land of Rav Nachman. They just brought their shovels with them, and they decided to dig up stuff. I guess Rav Nachman gave them permission, not sure why they were digging. Nachar Behu Rav Achai Bar Yoshia. So they came across the grave of Rav Achai Bar Yoshia, and in the meantime, Rav Achai Bar Yoshia was unhappy that he was being dug up, and he curses them. So the Gemara says that this dead man, Rav Achai Bar Yoshia, cursed those who were digging him out of his grave. So look at Rashi in source number 5. It's on the, I shared the screen. Kapolai, Chofrim, so those are diggers. Nachar Behu Rav Achai, Shaya Nikvar Sham. So basically he was buried there and he was annoyed that they were digging him up. Right, so he says, Asub Amr Leder Rav Nachman. So they, these diggers, they go to Rav Nachman who owned this piece of land. Nachar Ben Gavra. So they say to Rav Nachman, there is an individual that just cursed us that was buried. So also the Amarle, Man Nihu Mar. So he went, Rav Nachman went to investigate to find out who this dead person was or who this individual was. So he goes up to the person and he says, who are you? So Amarle, Ana Achai Bar Yoshia. So he says back to him, the dead person, apparently he can speak, and he says, I am Achai Bar Yoshia. Okay, so Amar Lei, so Rav Nachman says to Achai Bar Yoshia, again, just to keep this clear, Rav Achai Bar Yoshia had passed away, and now this was the living embodiment of him. So Rav Nachman is engaging this individual who is dead in conversation. Amar Lei, V'lav Amar Rav Meri Asidi Tzadiki Dahavu Afra, does not Rav Meri say that tzaddikim, that those who are righteous, will ultimately become dirt? They'll decompose like every human being, and they'll become dust and dirt. So Amar Lei, Umani Meri Deluya Donalei. So he said, who's this Meri that you speak about? I don't know who this Meri is. So he's basically dissing on Meri, Rav Meri, Rashi. Looks Deluya Donalei, Ve'ino Chash L'dvarav. He says, I don't care what this guy has to say. I'm still alive. even though I was dead, I didn't decompose. So who is this guy? Who is this Rav Meri? So Amar Lei. So he said back to him, V'hal Kruk Siv V'yashov Ha'afar Al Ha'aretz Kishahaya. Does not the Pasuk say in Koheles that the dirt will return to the earth as it was, which is an indication that all people will decompose and ultimately will go back to becoming dirt. So Amar Lei, so Rav Achai Bar Yoshia, this dead man, said back, the Akriach Koheles lo Akriach Mishle. Okay, so you read Koheles, but did you not read Mishle? You missed out on Mishle. Dichsiv urakav atzamos kina. It says that the rotting of bones is through jealousy. And he explains, Kol mishiyesh lo kina belibo. Anyone who's jealous in their heart, atzmosav markivim. So anyone who's jealous, their bones end up rotting. So they end up decomposing. But kol she'en lo kina belibo, ain atzmosav markivim. But anyone who doesn't have jealousy doesn't rot. And what Rav Achai Bar Yoshia was saying was, I never was jealous. I was able to conquer that. And therefore, my body never decomposed. So Gushashay, so Rav Nachman touched this dead body. Chazya de Isbe Man Masha. And he found that there was substance. It wasn't just a ghost. There was substance to Rav Achai Bar Yoshia. It wasn't an image. It wasn't a dream. So Amar Lei, Leko Mar Legavei Debesa. So Rav Nachman invited him into his house, and he said to Rav Achai Bar Yoshia, this dead man, why don't you come to my house? So Amar Lei, Galis Adaitcha Da'afilu Nevi'e Lo Kriyas. So now it's revealed that you don't even read Navi. Not only do you not know Mishle, but you also don't read Navi. Dechsiv Idatem Ki Ani Hashem Efischi Es Kivroseichem. It says in Yechezkel that you will know that I am Hashem when I open up your graves. So Amar Lei Vaksiv Ki Afar Ata Vel Afar Tashuv. So that's a reference to Tchias Amisim. The only time that the dead will come alive is Tchias Amisim, and therefore Rav Achai was saying, I can't go home with you. I have to wait till God awakens me when Mashiach comes for Tchias HaMesim. So he said, V'haksiv ki afar ata v'lafar tashuv. So does it not say that that man is made out of dirt, and therefore he will return to the land and be dirt? So Amar le Yahusha achas kodem Tchias HaMesim. So Rav Acha Bar Yoshia said that one moment before Tchias HaMesim, our bodies will fully decompose, all the tzaddikim, and then we'll be reborn and recreated. Okay, so strange story. But let's just do that Rashi that the Torah Tmimah was referencing. So if you look in the Rashi at the bottom, B'haksiv el'afar tashuv, so the Gemara says that Rav Nachman asked Rav Achai Bar Yoshia, aren't you supposed to be dirt? Because all humanity is supposed to go back to dirt. And he says over there, Rashi says at the very bottom of source number 5, V'hai lekalamimar barisham l'chudaihu, d'cho klalosav shal adam harishon kol dorosav shavin bahen. So he says that according to this answer and the question, the assumption is that all the that everything and all the klalos of man, which is that man will return to dirt, those apply not just to Rishayim, but even Tzadikim. And therefore, the answer has to be that at one point I will return to dirt. But right now, I'm not. I'll only return to dirt one moment before Tchias HaMesim. Okay, so it's a very strange type of story, but let me just summarize the story to simplify it. So basically, the story is that they dig up, these diggers dig up on Rav Nachman's property, the dead body of Rav Achai Bar Yoshia. But Rav Achai Bar Yoshia was not really... or he was dead, but he was able to communicate. And these diggers go to Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman has this conversation with him about how it's possible that he hasn't decomposed yet. And he explains that decomposition is only for those who are jealous. But I'm not jealous. And there's a pasuk in Mishle that proves it. But still, he says, what about the kala to Adam, that you're supposed to return to dirt? Your body's supposed to decompose completely. So the answer was, no, that'll only happen a moment before Tchias HaMesim, and then we'll be recreated before Tchias HaMesim. So the question is, what's the deal with the story? But more specifically, other than what's the deal, so why is it that a tzaddik isn't subject, or why wouldn't they be subject to decomposition until the moment before Tchias HaMesim? So why don't you just say, just like by regular man, by every person, a tzaddik's body should decompose just like every human in the same way. So why is it that the body of Rav Achai Bar Yoshia and tzaddikim are preserved until the moment before Tchias HaMesim? And that seems to violate the idea that, or it's at least this Gemara, according to the Torah Tmimah, is a proof against our Medrash, because the Medrash says that women who are tzidkanios, who are righteous, are not subject to the curse of Chava. And the curse of Chava was that women have pain during childbirth. But this Rashi seems to indicate that all the klalos to Adam and Chava apply to all individuals. And we see from this Gemara that it does. Because even the righteous, their bodies decompose. It just happens to be that they decompose a moment before Tchias HaMesim and are recreated. So the question is, the basic question of this Gemara is, you know, why right before? But also, what does it mean that a tzaddik's body doesn't decompose? Why should it be that the tzaddik's body doesn't decompose until the very end? Who cares? Why don't we say that a tzaddik is like every other human, and just like every other human body, the body decomposes, the body breaks down when it's in the dirt, so to a tzaddik's body should break down. And there's all these stories I was looking up, I was Googling this up, and there's like stories that claim that when they had to exhume the Gruz body, that it was intact, that it wasn't decomposed. But whether or not this is true is not really my concern. I just want to understand the idea. Let's say it is true, even if it's not in terms of scientifically. But what's the concept that the Gemara seems to be indicating that the body of the righteous, the body of the tzaddik, don't seem to decompose at the same rate as the regular human being? So why not? Well, who cares? They're in the dirt. They're in the ground anyways. And if you want to say it's an indication of Tchias HaMesim so that they're intact for Tchias HaMesim, but the Gemara says that they're going to return to dirt, and then they're going to be recreated. So why do it that way? So why have them remain in their undecomposed, I don't even know if that's a word, in their lack of decomposition? Why remain in that state? What benefit is there? What's it trying to teach us? So what exactly is that idea? What's the idea that a body of a tzaddik does not decompose? So I just wanted to give a little mussar based on that pasuk in Mishlei. It's actually very very reasonable, and I think it's just very intuitive. And then we'll keep going, and we'll try to find more indications in the Gemara of where we see that tzaddikim's bodies do not decompose. There's other Gemaras that indicate the same. But what does it mean? What's that pasuk in Mishlei? And that Rav Achai Bar Yoshia says that the reason why my body didn't decompose is because I was never jealous. So the pasuk in Mishlei is source number 6. And it says, Chaye Bisarim Lev Marpe or Akav Atamos Kina. So a calm person will have, hold on, is it English? I wrote this down. It says a calm disposition gives bodily health, and jealousy leads to rotting bones. So what does that mean? What's the difference between a calm person and a jealous person? And what does it mean, rotting bones? So if you look in the Matsudos David, he gives a really nice idea that I'll just want to share. So it says, Chai Bisarim, Mi Sheyesh Lo Lev Rafoi, Ve'eno Maksha Libo, Lin Tor Kina. So a person who's very calm, and he's not, he doesn't hold a grudge, and he doesn't want to take revenge all the time. Hu lo l'chai b'sarim, because so he'll have a healthy body. Ki lo yidag eich uvame yinkom nakom, because he'll never be worried and concerned and anxious about how to take revenge. Aval amaksha libo v'noter kina, but a person who's very hard of heart, their heart is hardened, and they take vengeance. Hu siba l'havi rikavon v'atzmosav l'smadas hadaika. So this is a reason for the rotting of a person's bones because of the constant worry and anxiety. So Mishlei is teaching us a medical reality, a psychological reality, which is that a calm disposition, a person who's calm, so their body is going to be healthy. Why? Because it's teaching you that your psychology and the way that you relate to the world and how anxious you are is really has a tremendous effect on your bodily health, your physical health, because of the relationship between the mental and the physical. But when a person's anxious all the time, and that's the idea of kina, the idea of kina, of jealousy, is the person's anxiety, there's daga, there's worry, they're always thinking and they're always concerned about paying somebody back and them getting repaid. And so a person who's anxious all the time, so their bones are going to rot, which means that they're not going to be physically healthy. So the Mishlei is coming way before modern science and teaching us about how anxiety, at least in this framework, is tremendously negative towards the physical, towards the body itself. It's not just a psychological, mental phenomenon, but it's also negative vis-a-vis the body. So the Chiddush of Mishlei is that your disposition, the way you handle, the way you see the world, and the stress that you have as a result is really has a tremendous factor on how you age, and also how your body, how healthy your body is. But this isn't really a reference to decomposition in terms of the pshat. The pshat is teaching us a midah, an idea that a person who wants to be healthy, they have to have a healthy mind, and they have to understand that being jealous all the time is really going to create tremendous physical damage. But if a person is calm, a person who's calm will have health. But if you're constantly worried, it'll affect you physically. But it's not really referring to a person after their death, at least the pshat. It's not referring to a person after their death that if you had kina, if you never had kina in your life, you're not going to decompose, because why would that be? So what exactly is the idea in our Gemara that a tzaddik's body doesn't decompose till the very end? And furthermore, what does that have to do with kina? Okay, so those are the questions. So I just want to stop here, because hopefully, just to make sure that it's clear. Any questions at this point? Just want to make sure. All right. So if anybody has a question at any point, feel free to stop me, as usual. I won't be insulted. Just stop me in the middle. All right, so let's keep going. So we have these questions on the board. The question is... the question about Yocheved, why didn't she experience the pain of childbirth? And then the question about Tzaddikim, why don't they decompose at the same rate? And finally, fine, so they do decompose, but why wait till the very end? Okay, so there's another Gemara that seems to support the idea that Tzaddikim don't have the same experience when they're in the ground. Because it says in source number 8, so it's Baba Basra Dav Yud Zayin Amad Aleph, Tanu Rabbanan, Shiva lo shalat bahen rima visoleya. there are seven individuals that after their death, there weren't any worms or maggots that helped to break down their bodies. The Elohim, and who were they? Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. So those are our gimmies, you know. Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam, also. Ovinyam and Ben Yaakov. So a little bit of a wild card there, but so the individuals who didn't have any worms or any maggots attack their bodies were Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam, and then Binyamin. So the Gemara says, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. How do you know that when Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov were buried, that there were no worms that attacked their bodies or maggots? Tichsib behu bakol mikol kol. Because it says, by each one of them, the word kol, and I guess that means whole or full. So I guess it's indicating that there was no decomposition. And there was no maggots or worms. Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam, dichsiv al pi Hashem. Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam, because they died through Neshika, that's why there certainly was no worms that attacked their body. Binyamin bin Yaakov, dichsiv ul binyamin amar yedid Hashem ishkon lavetach alav. So Binyamin, there's a pasuk that says that he was the yedid Hashem. He was the friend of Hashem and beloved, and he shall dwell in safety. And then it says, V'yishom r'af David d'chsev apisari yishkon levetach v'idach ahu rachami hu d'kabai. So there's another possibility that David was included in this list. So David gets included in the non-decomposer list, in the list of individuals who don't get attacked by the worms and the maggots. It's interesting. I've spoken to a lot of my patients, and a lot of those who choose to be cremated have this real big fear of the maggots and the worms because they think that they're going to live after they're dead. And a lot of them want to be in these mausoleums because they want to avoid being in contact with the dirt. So it seems to be a real big fear of man, at least the average person, a real big fear. But the Gemara is giving some credence to this idea that that these tzaddikim don't decompose and they don't get attacked by maggots and worms. But who cares? They're dead. So what's the difference? You know, tzaddikim die like every other person, and their bodies are made out of the same chemical composition that our bodies are. So who cares? Why is it important to teach us that there's no worms and maggots that attack their body? So look at source number 9, Kida Amran, Shemesu al Pishchina. So he explains why Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam, why were the worms not attracted to their bodies? So because they died through Neshika, Ein Reuya Rima Lishlot B'mishenishkok Shenishok Mishchina. It would be inappropriate for a person who died through Neshika that a worm would touch their body. And he says, Ein Rima Ba Elamitipa Mara Hametaftefes Misakino Shalmala Hamaves. Where do the worms come from? It drips off. There's a bitter dripper off the sword of the Malchamavis, which is very strange, right? And hold on. There's something that drips off the sword of the Malchamavis. And Damar Mar, Mimena Mace, Mimena Masriach, Mimena Panamorikos. And that's what causes a person to decompose. So because Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam and these other individuals were not touched by the sword and the poison of the sword of the Malchamavis, therefore their bodies did not decompose. Strange. Why? So we still have to explain. What we have to explain is, what is that concept that any person that was dead through Neshika, the Rima, the worms don't attack them or eat them and help them decompose? And furthermore, what's the idea by the Malchamavis? It seems very strange. Okay. One more story, and then I hope to get to the idea. But it's the same question. Constant, similar questions throughout. One question, keep in mind, if you have any ideas, after we do the next Gemara, just share. But another interesting Gemara. But the question is, why does it matter, again, that tzaddikim's bodies either don't decompose or they're not, or maggots and worms don't break them down or attracted to them? So why is that important at all? So one more point. So there's a Tosus on the staff, and he quotes another Gemara, and he brings down our Gemara from Shabbos. He says, Shiva shlo shalto ben rima, tema l'rashba, deklu tzadiki nami, de'amar b'shabbos, v'perek shoal, v'rokava tzamos kina, mi sheish lo kina b'libo atmosav nerkavin, v'she'en kina b'libo, enatmosav markivin. So he says that you see from our Gemara that it wasn't just the seven in Bava Basra. It's not just Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Moshe, Aaron, Miriam, and David, or Binyamin. Sorry, Binyamin, or maybe David, because we see from our Gemara and Shabbos that every tzaddik who didn't who wasn't jealous, their bodies don't decompose. So what's the answer? So it's possible to say that they didn't decompose and they weren't overcome by worms, but there still are situations where there's potentially a worm, maybe one worm, because there's a story in Sokar Sapolim in Bava Metzia where this worm came out of this tzaddik's ear. Okay, so basically he's saying that there's a difference now. There's a difference between Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Moshe, Aaron, Miriam, and Binyamin slash perhaps David and the rest of tzaddikim, because the great ones, the greatest ones, they don't have any worms, and nor do they have any decomposition. But those who are lesser than them, they won't decompose, but they may get a worm in the ear, so that's possible. So what is this talking about? What's it talking about? What exactly is the difference there? And then finally, we get to the last story. Also a very interesting story off the beaten path here. And look in source number 11 on the source sheets. So there's a story here about Rav Elazar ben Shimon. Yeah, Rav Elazar ben Rav Shimon. So it says, Kihava kanicha nafshe. So after he died, this individual, Rav Elazar ben Shimon, Amar le debisu, he said to his wife, Yadana b'durabanan d'resichi alai v'lo mi'aski b'shapir. So he said to his beautiful, loving wife, that I know that the Rabbanan, they're not going to help or tend to me when I'm buried. They're not going to come to my funeral. So why? The Rashi explains why. Because he had their relatives who were thieves. He had given them over to the police, and they were taken to jail. And he knew that the Chazal were angry at him for doing that. So ugnin b'ilasai v'lo tidchalin minai. So he says to his wife, he gives her some reasonable suggestions, and he says, put me in the attic, and don't be afraid. Just put my body after I die in the attic. So she takes his body and puts his body in the attic without burying the body. So Amar Shmuel bar Nachmini ishtayali eme de Rav Yonasan. So Rav Shmuel bar Nachmani said that I heard from the mother of Rav Yonasan, who heard from the wife of Rav Elazar Rav Shimon. So there's a gossip chain here going on. Lo pachos mitam nisari, that he was there for 18 years. So Rav Elazar Rav Shimon was in his attic as a dead body for 18 years. Velo tafi. So he says for velotfe maasrin utrain shnin, 12 years ugnisa be'alisa. So she didn't. I think it says she didn't go up for 12 years to check on him. Hold on, let me just make sure. Yeah. Okay. But then it says so he's left up there by himself, this dead body. Yeah. Yeah.
Is it not saying that they weren't sure exactly what it was, but it was definitely no less than 18 and no more than 20?
Oh, yes, you're right. Sorry, I read that wrong. Thank you. V'lotzvei me'astrin u'train shnin ugnise bi'ilasa. Okay, yeah, it was not less. V'lotzvei, okay. No, it was lo pachos, sorry, not less than 18 and not more than 22. Sorry, I read that wrong. So, not less than 18 years and not more than 22 years. Ki ava slikna me'inale b'mazia. So when she would go and check on him and his hair, like Rashi says over there, Mazia b'sa'aro, she would go check on his hair. Yava mishtamta binasa mine hava asi dama. So when the hair would fall out, so there was blood that would come out. So you see that from the fact that blood came out, that the body was never decomposed in the attic. Yomachad chazai richasha de kanafik meune chalesh daitai. So one day she went upstairs to check in on him, and she saw a worm come out of his ear, and she got really nauseous. So she wasn't nauseous from the fact, or she wasn't weakened by the fact that there was this dead body, her husband, up in the attic, but the fact that she saw a worm crawl out of his ear was pretty shocking and traumatic. So what happened is Chazi li bechelma amar li lo midihu yom achad shmai bezalusa ditzorba merabana velo mechai kedabai li. So she had a dream where he appeared and he said, don't worry about the worm. It was a punishment for me because one day this young rabbi was insulted and I didn't step up and I didn't stop him from being insulted. And I'm being punished by this worm coming out of my ear, but don't worry, I'm fine. My body won't break down. Kavu asu bar tre be tre ledino havu kaimi abava. So the story gets even stranger. Whenever they would have dinim in that town, they would go to the doorway of this dead person. Amar mar milse, umar milse. So one person would say his taina, his claim, and the other person would say his claim. Nafik kala milase. And there was a sound that would come from the attic, the dead body. Amar ish ploniata chayev, ish ploniata zakai. And he would pask in the halacha. So yom achad avakam mitzna de bisu bahadei shivasa. So one day, the wife was arguing with the neighbor. They're having a fight. Amra la tehei kiva'ala shalonitan lekfura. And the neighbor, she cursed her and said, you should be like your husband who was never buried. So amri rabbanan kule haivada lav orach ara. So the rabbanan said at that point that it's really inappropriate to just leave a dead body in the attic. We need to bury the body. And they buried the body at that point. Okay. So this Gemara is saying that you can get an occasional worm in your ear, but that would be because you're being punished for something, and that's what happened with this Rav Elazar Berabi Shimon. But really, the same question emerges, which is similar. Like his body didn't decompose because she said that she would check on him, and there was still blood there, so the body didn't break down, and only because of the fact that there was this worm that popped out, that's why she got scared, which is also strange, that she wasn't nervous that she was taking care of a dead body for all these years. And of course, the end is really strange too, the fact that he's passing in halacha as a dead body. Okay, but it's a similar type of question. What does it mean that the bodies don't decompose? And what's the idea of, obviously, a little bit of decomposition. The idea of one worm is some indication of some type of flaw. So there seems to be levels of perfection when it comes to decomposition, and your level of perfection is relative to the amount of decomposition. If you have more greater perfection, like Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and Moshe, Aaron, Miriam, and Binyamin, and perhaps David, so then your bodies won't have any worms at all and not decompose. But if you're just a regular tzaddik, you won't decompose, but you may get an occasional worm or maggot, but you still won't decompose. So again, the question is, what exactly is the idea of bodies not decomposing, of tzaddikim, and what's this this differentiation between all these different tzaddikim? Okay, so those are the questions, and I want to try to answer those questions with an idea. So again, just with the point, the idea that I'm going to give, it doesn't matter to me whether these are literal stories or not. It really doesn't matter. It's more the question of what the idea of the story is trying to teach us. Whether or not they're literal or not is really, again, is not really of the utmost importance. So what exactly is the concept of a lack of decomposition? So, does anybody have any possibilities before I give a svara? Open it up. All right, so let me try to give an idea of what these Gemaras mean. So I think that the idea is, perhaps, that the idea of the body of a tzaddik not decomposing is a reflection of the difference between the body of a tzaddik and the body of everybody else. So the idea of ki afar ata vel afar tashuv, that concept is that the body, which is the physical part of man, and of course the neshama is the non-physical part of man, that the body ultimately is physical in nature and will ultimately return to its original capacity, its original state of being dirt. But the body of a tzaddik is different than the body of a regular person, because the tzaddik treats his body as just a means or a method of fulfilling the will of the soul. And the body becomes secondary to the soul. But by regular people, by most people, the body has its own identity. The body is what draws a person to chayt. The body is what draws a person to doing the instinctual, to being engaged in the instinctual. So the tzaddik relates to his body very differently than the average person relates to their body. The average person gives into their instincts at times. And the average person, not that a tzaddik never sins, but the average person, his body is a separate entity from his soul. But the tzaddik's body is really a vehicle of the soul. The soul is really the driver, and the body really functions to fulfill the will of the soul. So there's a very fundamental difference between the nature of the average person's body and the tzaddik's body. And I think that's why, or that's what the Gemara is teaching us by the fact that the tzaddikim don't decompose. It's teaching us that the nature of the tzaddik's body is that it has a certain kedusha. Like if you go back before to that Rashi, where he talks about the bodies of Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam. So he says, it wouldn't be appropriate. So the individual who dies through Neshika, the individual who dies through this natural transition from life to death, so it would be inappropriate for a worm to attack or to attach itself to the body. So why? Because the body of a tzaddik is really, it has its own kedusha. It's really, the body of a tzaddik has a kedusha by virtue of the fact that it served the neshama all these years, and it was secondary. It was almost a means or a vehicle to fulfill the will of the neshama, which is Ratzon Hashem. The will of the neshama is to follow the Ratzon Hashem. So the concept of the body not decomposing is because of the fact it was a reflection of the nature of how tzaddikim treated their bodies as opposed to how average people treat their bodies. So a tzaddik treats their body as being secondary to the soul. So the body doesn't have its own identity. The body is simply a vehicle of the soul. And therefore, just like the soul continues to exist, the body continues to exist. But the regular person, the average person, whose body exists as a separate entity from the soul, there's almost a dichotomy in the average person. So the body returns and the soul exists, but the body has its own identity. And the tzaddik reflects the highest level, where the body's identity, again, is tafel. It's secondary to the soul. It's all, the whole purpose of the body is to serve the will of the soul. So I think that's the idea of the body not decomposing. And that's what it means, that there's different levels. There's different levels of, as to, and there's different degrees as to how a tzaddik related to his body vis-a-vis his soul. And there's different levels, there's different degrees, but the highest levels were the individuals in Bava Basra. Those were Moshe, Aaron, Miriam, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and Binyamin, and David. So these were the individuals that were able to completely subjugate their bodies to their soul, and have their bodies serve the soul to the utmost, where it was tafel to the soul. But the other tzaddikim, they didn't do it to the same level, but that doesn't mean that they didn't relate to it overall and generally in the same degree, to the same concept. So that is the basic idea that I think that the Gemara is hinting to or saying, which is that the tzaddik's body is different. And it doesn't matter, it doesn't matter in terms of tzias klim. There's no practical nafkamina. It doesn't matter in terms of tchias amesim, because again, the Gemara before said that a tzaddik will die right before tchias amesim and return, sorry, not die, decompose and then come back. So it's not practical that their bodies, it is a means of reflecting that the tzaddik's body has kedusha, and it exists in the same way or in a similar way as the soul, because it served the soul primarily, as opposed to the average person, el afarata vel afarta shuv, and that was the chet of Adam, that really man's body is separate now. It's man's body has its own instincts and instinctual gratification that drives man, and for the average person, the body decomposes and the soul continues to exist. So that's what's different about the tzaddik and the tzaddik's body as opposed to the average person's body. But what about the idea that the tzaddik dies, not dies, I keep saying dies, but decomposes right before tchias amesim? So what does that mean? So look at the Marsha in source number 14. At the very end of the Marsha, he says, why is it? V'atam bo k'deshia nivra yesh ma'ayin k'moshe nivra b'shivas yimei b'reishis. So the answer is that the reason why the tzaddik returns to the earth and then is recreated is to demonstrate to the world the uniqueness of God as creator, that he can create something from nothing. So the idea of Tchias HaMesim, again, is that in the times of Mashiach, everyone will accept the uniqueness and accept God as being the only creator, the creator. And witnessing the idea of Yesh Ma'ayin is the true reflection, the truest reflection of God as the creator. So that idea will be nicker in Tchias HaMesim, and that's why right before Tchiasa Meisim, they'll decompose and then be recreated. But the idea is that if not for that concept, if not for the idea of, in the time of Tchiasa Meisim, reflecting that God is the ultimate creator and the only creator, if not for that, their bodies would remain intact. And the reason is because their bodies, again, the whole idea is that their bodies serve their soul. Their bodies exist to serve the soul, and the soul exists for eternity. So too, the body is not interrupted. It's not decomposed. It doesn't decompose in the way a regular physical body does. But what about the original question? The original question was, what do you mean? So why is it that Yocheved did not experience pains of childbirth when we see from the Gemara that everyone is subject to the klalos of Adam and Chava? So this is the last idea I wanted to share. So if you look in source number 15, the klalot of Chava was Elisha Mar Harba Arba Itzvonech Leharonech Be'etzeb Tel Dibanim Ve'lisheich Leshukaseich Ve'huyim Shalbach. So it says over there that a woman, look at Rashi, a woman will experience pain in raising children, and they'll experience pain when they're pregnant and pain in childbirth, and they'll also require the husband. So that's also included in the klala of Isha. But so why is it that Yocheved wasn't subject to the klala? What's that idea that Sidkanios aren't subject to the klala? So I think the answer is to the Torah Tumimah's question, because the Torah Tumimah said, we see from Rashi that everyone's subject to the klalos. So the answer is that these klalos of Chava, they really are subject to all humanity, and they really would be subject to any woman, whether they're a tzedekes or they're a rasha. But the tzedkanios, because of the way they relate to their bodies, same way as the tzaddik, they're not affected in the same way as a regular person by these pains. Pains don't affect them in the same way. So I'll give you, I mean, I know that there, I don't know if it's a story about Rav Chaim, or I'm not sure who the story is about, but there's a classic story of various gedolim having surgery before they had anesthesia and basically being able to focus their minds on the Torah and on learning and be able to avoid the pain of surgery. So how does that work? Oh, it's because the body of the gadol, the body of the tzaddik, is really secondary to the mind, to the soul, not just the mind, but the soul of man. And the same thing with a tzidkanios. It's not that she's not subject intrinsically to having pain in childbirth. It's that because the tzaddikess relates to her body differently than we do, because her body is just a vehicle of the soul, the pain doesn't affect her in the same way. She's not affected by the pain of childbirth. She's just, during childbirth, she's just grateful. She just gives hodah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. She recognized the beauty of the idea. So the fact that she doesn't relate to her body that way is why she wasn't affected. It's not that, it's not that a woman or a man is intrinsically not subject to the klalos. It's that a tzaddik or a tzidkanios, they're able to relate to their body in a way where the klala doesn't affect them. It doesn't really have the same impact on them as it would a regular individual. So I think that answers the Torah Tumimah's question. Torah Tumimah's question was, what do you mean? How could Yocheved not experience the pain of childbirth? That's one of the klalos. And the answer is, yes, she wasn't not subject to the klala. The klala applied to her, but because a tzaddikess is able to focus her body on serving the mind and serving the soul, so because she's able to do that, pain doesn't register in the same way. She doesn't have the same experience as the average woman does having a child. So I think that's the answer. But it ties into the general theme of the shir, which is the concept that we have to view, or we have to understand, that the body is intrinsically physical, but a tzaddik's relationship to their body is qualitatively different than the average person. And because of that, that's why there's this idea that the body doesn't decompose, to express the kedusha of the body, the idea that the body exists as a secondary to the soul, and just like the soul continues to exist, so does the body. And also by a woman, because she relates to her body, a tzaddikess, as being a vehicle of the soul, the same effects of pain, they don't really impact her in the same degree, and the klala doesn't have the same effect on her. So I think that's the answer, but that's really how I wanted to conclude this shir. So if there's any questions, anybody have any questions? Do you want me to repeat? I usually give a summary, but kind of just summarized it.
All right, again,
yes.